So some of our grade school kids will be moving up a class. It doesn't apply to all of our kids, but take note of that. Our little ones, 0 to 3 years old, over here to my right. I'd like to welcome our seventh graders who have been promoted to church here. Glad that you guys are here. I don't know where you're seated, but welcome to sermon time. I want to encourage them. I want to encourage all of us as we go to the Word of God. Let's just really have our hearts open, our minds engaged, and be ready to receive a word from the Spirit of God. We also at this time have a couple of elders and their wives in this hallway out to the west. And if you have any need of prayer, then we invite you to go out there, and they'll take you to one of these classrooms here and have a time of prayer with you. Today I want to continue my series, Cries of Desperation. This is week number 2. Even as Christians, life is hard. Life is tough. Sometimes we wonder, what in the world is going on? Why is there all this evil around us? And then sometimes we feel, hey, we're supposed to be part of redeeming this world. We're supposed to be part of bringing peace and God's will into this world. And sometimes that can be very overwhelming. How am I going to be able to contribute to what God is doing in this world? Sometimes we just feel overwhelmed. What am I supposed to do? And how am I supposed to do it? Have you ever had a job where you felt just overwhelmed? I mean, maybe it was a new job. Maybe it was a new program in school. I know when I went to graduate school, I started to think to myself, how am I going to do this? How is this going to be possible? But in all probability, you have been in that situation where you have just felt overwhelmed, that the task before you was greater than your ability. I felt that way several times. One that comes to my mind is when we had a child, our first child. I mean, that was overwhelming. Of course, it was a little more overwhelming for Henry Ann than it was for me, because men don't have babies, women have babies, and so that was an overwhelming experience for her. But then we're in the hospital, and then a few days after, they give you this child, and they say, good luck. You know, take this child home. And I thought to myself, how am I going to do this? How am I going to take care of a child? It was overwhelming. Was I up to that task? I was 29 years old when my first child was born, Melanie, and a little bit older than a lot of you may have been who are parents. But imagine being a teenage girl in first century Palestine, and an angel appears to you and says, guess what? You're going to have a child. This woman was not married, she was engaged, and this child was not going to be just any child. This child was going to be the Savior of the world, the Messiah. Can you possibly imagine how Mary must have felt when that angel appeared to her? Well, she cries out in desperation. She says, how can this be? How is this possible? How is this going to happen? So turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. I'll project some of these passages up here as well. Luke tells the story of the angel appearing to Mary and conveying this news to her. If you want to follow along on the app also, press the little sermon button, and those scriptures are there for you as well. But let's hear the beginning of the story as the angel comes to announce the birth of Jesus to Mary. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. And coming in, he, the angel, said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. So there's the announcement, and then comes Mary's cry of desperation. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I am a virgin? So Mary is given this assignment. Dale Manin, who is inspired this sermon of series out in Lubbock at Green Lawn Church of Christ, he calls this an impossible glorification assignment. So what is Mary supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? What are you supposed to do when you get an impossible glorification assignment? And I believe God gives all of us a glorification assignment. It's not just for the spiritually elite. It's not just for people like Mary. It's not just for people who we read about in the Bible. God has called each one of us to a glorification assignment. He has called us to be perfect. Jesus says that. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He tells his disciples, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. He says to be an ambassador of Christ. He says for the body of Christ to be his hands and his feet. He tells us to be the light of the world. He tells us to be the salt of the world. So he's given us this assignment. And if you got into Christianity and did not realize that you were being called into a serious job, then someone misinformed you. Mary has a glorification assignment. I have a glorification assignment. And you have a glorification assignment. And a lot of times when we get these assignments, we think to ourselves, as Mary did, how can this be? How can this happen? So the angel doesn't leave her. The angel's going to walk her through this. And so let's take a look at what the angel says, and let's break this down a little bit. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." So the first thing, when you receive this impossible glorification assignment, you need to recognize that you need to trust in a capable God. God is going to be with Mary as she fulfills this assignment. First of all, he says the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, as Moses there talks about the creation of the world, he says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." So the Spirit himself was involved in taking all of the chaos and then bringing it into order. The Spirit was involved in creation. Then in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. Jeremiah says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth, and by your great power and outstretched arm, nothing is too hard for you." And we just sang about this. When we recognize that God is creator of the world, when he gives us an assignment and the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and God, the Most High God, is with us, then what is impossible? The angel reminds Mary that the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God is going to help you through this. You know, the virgin birth is one of those teachings of the Bible that have been disputed. Some people have a hard time believing that a virgin could give birth to a child. But when you think of it in these terms, if God, who created the entire universe, if God, who breathed life into human beings, if God can do all of that, then why is it difficult for us to believe that God can bring about a child from a virgin? It shouldn't be a leap of faith if we believe in God the Creator. And then also remember that Luke is writing this. Luke is a doctor. Luke's reputation is on the line, and Luke doesn't seem to have any problems whatsoever in recording this miraculous conception and this miraculous birth. So the first thing you need to do when you are called into an impossible glorification assignment is to recognize that you are not alone, that we have a capable God, that the Holy Spirit is with you. In fact, today I'd like to point out that it is Pentecost Sunday. This is the day that on Christian calendars we celebrate, 50 days after Easter, that we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit on the people of God. You know, in the Old Testament, it seemed like the Spirit came upon people at just individual times to qualify them and equip them for a particular task. The Holy Spirit came upon Samuel. The Holy Spirit comes upon David. The Holy Spirit comes upon these prophets. And then that Holy Spirit empowers them to do something, an assignment that they have been given by God. But then on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, as was prophesied by the prophet Joel, the Holy Spirit was poured out for everyone. And so now in this Christian age, we all have the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2:38, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And it's overwhelming sometimes what God calls us to do, but we have a capable God. We have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, and a God who will empower us. All right, first thing to do is to remember that you have a capable God. All right, let's continue what the angel says in verse 36. "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month." All right, what do you do when you receive an impossible glorification assignment? You walk with a spiritual friend. You find someone else that God is working with and that God is working through. And so look at your friend. Look at your relative, Elizabeth. God is doing something amazing in her. If he can do that with her, then he can do that with you as well. So find someone else that God is working through, someone that God is using. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken." And then look later on in Luke chapter 1. See what Elizabeth says to Mary in verses 39 through 45. What encouraging words Elizabeth has for Mary. And so they get together. And at the time that Mary got ready, she hurried to the town, to the hill country of Judea. She found Zechariah, that is Elizabeth's husband, finds the house, greets Elizabeth. Then in verse 41, "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb." This is John the Baptist that she has conceived. "And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." This is why it's so important for us to be in the company of believers. Why it's important to be working with other people that God is working through. Because unbelievers will discourage you. When you have this glorification assignment and you explain it to someone else, "God has called me to do this," then you're probably going to be mocked and laughed at and probably even discouraged from making whatever sacrifice is associated with that glorification assignment. So what we need is we need faithful people who will be around us, people like Elizabeth who will encourage you. Godless people will say no, but faithful people will say go for it. Find people that God is using. And if you don't know anyone personally, and certainly you can find someone in this church, certainly you can find someone in this world, but even beyond that, read stories of people that God has used throughout history. Read biographies of great spiritual men and women who have been used by God. I know when I was a young Christian, I was directed towards a book about Alexander Campbell, his biography. Alexander Campbell was a leader, a Christian leader in the 19th century who called us back to the Bible to put away all these other teachings and just go back to the Bible and laid this foundation for what we call the churches of Christ. And so I read that story of Alexander Campbell. It inspired me. Find biographies of people who inspire you. Watch movies of people who can inspire you to give your life over to the will of God. Just within the last year, Henry and I went to see the story of C.S. Lewis and his journey from atheism to belief, and what an inspiring story to see how God worked in that man's life and how God used him in so many wonderful ways. Read stories of great Christians, Martin Luther, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and how God used those people. And as we see how God works in the past, works in people, it inspires us. Last year, we kind of committed ourselves to gathering together testimonials of people from the Park Avenue Church of Christ, and we showed them up here on the screen. That wasn't just for entertainment purposes. That was designed to let you know that God is working in the lives of people. In the same way that God has worked in their lives, He can work in your life as well. So trust in a capable God, but then also surround yourself with people that God is using. Expose yourself to those stories of people that God is using to do these impossible glorification assignments. All right, Luke chapter 1, continue with the story. The last words of the angel before he leaves Mary, he says, "For no word from God will ever fail." It's going to happen. When God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And so Mary just humbly accepts the challenge, and she begins to walk humbly in faith. As you read this story, you may reflect upon another angelic visit to another woman, Sarah, back in the Old Testament. Remember that story? Abraham and Sarah, God made these promises. We talked a lot about that as we introduced the story of Exodus. Of course, Sarah couldn't have children. Abraham and Sarah were both old. The angel says, by this time next year, you're going to have a child. Sarah laughs. And then the angel's response in Genesis 18:14, is anything too difficult for the Lord? When you think of it that way, then you get inspired. I'm going to go for it. I can do it. And look what Mary says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. She says, "I am the Lord's servant." That's her answer. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Let me remind you, Christian, that you are a servant of the Lord. You are a slave to the Lord. Early on in the year, let me remind you, one of the words that's used to describe Christians, believers, is that word servant. That's what we do. We serve the Lord. And Mary says, "All right, I'm willing to accept this challenge." So today I want you to start thinking about what impossible glorification assignment is God calling you to? How is God calling you to serve? Now, it could be starting a Bible study at work. Could be going on a mission trip. Could be fostering a child. It could be adopting a child. It could be giving a large financial gift to a church or a kingdom-related ministry. It could be opening up your home to someone in need. It could be leading a disciple-making community. It could be joining a disciple-making community. It could be say, "Hey, let me teach a kid's class." It could be right in front of you. It could be something as obvious as making sure that you get your kids here to church every Sunday, which, isn't it, sometimes feel like an impossible glorification assignment. It could be writing letters or texts, emails to people, just encouraging them. It could be visiting people in the hospital. It may be overwhelming to you. How can I do this? But you are being called. It could be providing a meal for someone. It could be being that person who brings peace to wherever you work, rather than chaos that you may be experiencing. It could be blessing your boss, or if you have employees, it could be blessing your employees. But every day, every morning, we need to wake up and say to ourselves, "I am a servant of the Lord. God, what do you want me to do?" And it will sound overwhelming at times, but remember that you have a capable God. Remember there are other people who have also served the Lord, other people who can encourage you, and then just humbly accept that assignment. When we continue to read through Luke chapter 1, Mary's cry of desperation is going to turn into a song of praise. It's a song called the Magnificat, or a passage called the Magnificat. It's in Luke chapter 1, 46 through 55. And we're going to sing this in just a few minutes. But let me read you this song of praise from the lips of Mary. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he has said to our fathers. You will find the greatest delight in your life in partnering with the Lord. And I'm convinced in my life, and I'm convinced in many lives, that many people don't live lives of praise because we have never really taken on these impossible glorification assignments. We've never really taken God at his word. Now, for Mary, it's not going to be easy. I can imagine that she's going to get those accusing looks. Sure, an angel told you you're going to have a child. It's going to be difficult when she's late in that pregnancy to be told to pack up things and go to Bethlehem. It's going to be difficult when another angel appears to her and says, hey, King Herod is still after your child. In fact, he's killing all of these children. It's time to head down to Egypt. It's going to be difficult. There are going to be times in Mary's life where I think she's going to feel even rejected by her son as he ministers and takes care of everyone else. Sometimes he doesn't have time for his mother, and that's going to be hurtful to her, I'm sure. She's going to be one of the people who didn't desert Jesus at the cross, and she is going to be seeing her son die on the cross. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But she's also going to be able to see her son love people like no one else loved people. She's going to be able to hear her son teach people with an authority and a presence that no one else had. She's going to be able to see her son give blind people sight, lame people walk. She's going to be able to see her son Jesus heal people, and eventually she's going to be able to see him raise from the dead. Accepting this assignment is the greatest joy of her life, and it will be the greatest joy of your life as well when you accept that glorification assignment. In the world that we live in, the task that is in front of us, perhaps we'd say the same thing as Mary. How can these things be? How can you use me? People, God is with you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. There are people in this church that are willing to walk alongside of you to encourage you in that glorification assignment. Then we just simply need to trust God's words will not fail. Let me lead us in a prayer, and then we're going to sing this song of Mary. But let's bow, and as we bow, I'm going to give you a little bit of time of silence, and I just want you to think and to contemplate, God, what are you calling me to be? What are you calling me to do? How do you want to use me? How can I be a partner with you in this task of redeeming the world to you? So let's just bow. I'll give you a few seconds, a time of silence, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Let's bow and pray. Father God, I pray that you have laid on everyone's heart this morning just a call to serve you in some way. Father, maybe it's not a new call, but maybe it's just an encouragement to continue doing what they're doing, because Father, sometimes we get weary, sometimes we get tired, and sometimes we just want to give up. Sometimes it just seems so overwhelming to put one foot in front of the other and to keep doing what we're doing. And so, Father, I pray that we will just be encouraged not to give up the good work that we're doing. Father, that we will not become weary in doing what is right. And so, Father, I pray that you would just send your Spirit in special ways to people who are weary and are tired and about ready to give up. Father, just give them that strength. Father, help them to know that you are with them, that the Holy Spirit who is involved in creation is with them, that you, the Holy God, has come upon them, that you will give them strength. And Father, I pray that times like this together, just looking at your word, Father, will just encourage them. Mary took on this huge responsibility. Father, certainly I can do what you have called me to do as well. Father, maybe it's a new assignment that you're calling people to, and maybe they've just been, I don't know if I can do this. I don't think I'm up for it. I just don't think I'm capable. I'm not weak. I'm not trained. I'm not qualified. Whatever it may be, and Father, we know that there's Father evil in this world, and Satan wants to keep us on the sideline. He wants to keep us on the bench. He wants to discourage us. He wants us to think that we're not worthwhile. He wants us to think that what we've done in the past has disqualified us from doing great things in the future. And so, Father, we pray that we will just block out all of that noise, and Father, hear your call on our life, and Father, respond and just say, I am the Lord's servant. That's what I've been created to be, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to serve you. Father, maybe it's not right now. Maybe that impossible glorification assignment is weeks, months, maybe years in the future. And Father, maybe you're preparing us for that. Maybe there's something very significant that you're calling us to do. And again, it may be in years to come. And Father, I pray that everyone here, that they may just be on the alert. Father, that when that day comes that you lay it upon their heart to do something that they don't believe that they can do, that they start initiating this assignment when other people say, you can't do that. That's impossible. Father, just help them to say, no, I feel God has called me to this. And Father, I pray that you may send people into their lives that will just encourage them, people that have been through a similar situation. And Father, just say, yeah, I can do this. Father, put stories in front of them. Father, just overwhelm them with all of these stories of people of faith who throughout the decades and centuries have done great things for you, and say, man, if they could do it, I could do it. And so, Father, just help us to be on the alert. And Father, help us just every day to wake up. Man, I am your servant. What do you have for me to do today? Father, you have called us to be salt and light. And so, Father, just use us. Use us in our families. Use us in our jobs. Use us in our neighborhoods. Use us in every interaction that we have. And, Father, help us to truly believe that we can be used by you, that you are working through us. So, Father, help us to accept those assignments. And, Father, you will prove yourself over and over again. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. You've proved yourself over and over and over again in our lives. And Father, as we give our lives over in service to you and as you use us, Father, we will just overflow with these words of praise that God can use a humble servant like me and you, all of those gathered together, to work together in this great work of redeeming people to you. And so, Father, we just pray that as we serve you, and as you use us, that we will just give glory back to you, the God who is working in this world, working through people like humble teenage girl Mary and each one of us. So, Father, as we sing this song of Mary, Father, we pray that this song may be on our hearts in reflection of the ways that you have used us in the past, in anticipation of the ways that you will use us in the future. Father, we thank you for calling us into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's all stand together and sing these words of Servant Mary.
My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God.